This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to Through the Abyss podcast, episode number 5. I am your co-host Mandy.
And I'm your co-host Ben.
And tonight we have on Laura from Gatekeeper Paranormal, and she will be discussing the wonderful world of Bobby Mackey's and all the paranormal fun stuff that goes along with it. And later on in the episode, we'll also have the man himself, Mr. Bobby Mackey's, come on and chat with us for just a few minutes. Laura, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your team, how you got involved with the paranormal?
Well, my team is Gatekeeper Paranormal. It's myself and Angie and Jan. So there's three of us that do the tours at Mackey's 5 days a week, Sunday through Thursday. We don't do very much else because Mackey's keeps us busy, especially this year. I think because everybody, you know, was so locked down during COVID that we've just been really busy this year. So we haven't done much else as far as going on fun investigations or things like that. And we've been there for 8 years. This is our 8th year doing tours at Mackey's.
Wow. And how did you get involved with the paranormal? Because you've been doing this for a long time, right?
Well, I mean, unofficially, yeah. When I was little, I was the weird kid who would go to the library and check out books about ghosts and Bigfoot and, you know, whatever other weird stuff, UFOs, even though I'm not really into UFOs now, but I would just any kind of book on anything paranormal, you know, I was into it. And then as I got older, when I was a teenager, there was an abandoned house behind, I lived in a big apartment complex, and behind that was an abandoned house. So we used to sneak in there, and there were all these rumors and legends that a witch lived there and she had a goat. So there was nobody there, but people always claimed, oh, I saw, you know, the witch and the goat. So it was weird, but it was a creepy old house, that's for sure. So we used to sneak in there. My grandmother's, not that I'm condoning trespassing, please don't trespass anymore. My grandmother's house was quite actively haunted. I had experiences there when I was a little girl, you know, all the way up until I was an adult. I would hear things, see things, even my grandmother. And now she was very, I don't know. She was a very no-nonsense kind of person. Like, she was the type of person that's just going to tell you all these crazy stories. She was very, you know, matter of fact, by the book, strict grandma. And she told me stories of, she said one night she went to bed, and this happened more than once, but she would get in the bed and lay down, and she would always say goodnight to my grandfather because he had passed away in 1988. So, you know, this was like maybe 5 years later. But anyway, she would always say goodnight to him before she went to bed. And a few times when she did that, she said she felt the bed kind of not like levitate up off the ground, but like just kind of bump up. She said it felt like there was like a dog underneath it that rolled over because it would just make this little bump.
Oh, cool.
And I asked her the first time she told me that, I'm like, so what did you do? I mean, I would have probably run out the front door. And she's like, oh, you know, I keep a flashlight behind the bed. So I grabbed the flashlight and I got down on the ground and looked to see what was under there. I'm like, oh, that's too many horror movies, you know, something reaching out and grabbing you. But anyway, yeah, her house was a playground of paranormal. And then one story I wanted to tell you, I've never told this story before. And it's not really about ghosts. It's just weird. Okay. And this was something that happened to me back in the late 90s. So at the time, Matthew and I were living in Atlanta. And of course, our family was up here in Northern Kentucky. And I worked for Delta, so we would fly home to visit a lot. But sometimes, like at Christmas time, we would drive home just because we had presents and stuff. So this was one of those times. It was Christmas time. It was winter. We were driving back home. We left. It took us about almost exactly 8 hours, including like a couple quick stops, to get from our house in Georgia to Matthew's parents' house. And they live out by Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. So to get to their house, it's, you go down East Bend Road, which is real, you know, curvy. It's all wooded. It's very rural. Every once in a while, you'll pass a farm or a house, but for the most part, it's woods and a little two-lane road going out there. So it takes us 8 hours to get from our house in Georgia to their house. So I remember we left at noon because I got off work early. We left at noon and we told his parents we would be there probably right at 8 o'clock. So we're driving, we get all the way, we're actually on East Bend Road going out to his parents. And we had stopped at the Flying J. I'm giving so many details because I remember them. We stopped at the Flying J gas station in Walton. We always stopped there to get gas because it was usually cheaper. And that's where we would get off to get on the back road to go to their house. So I remember when we got gas, I remember looking at the time and it was like 7:30 something. Okay, so we were like right on schedule to be at their house. And we got the gas, we start driving. It's dark at that point because it was December. It was, you know, the sun had gone down, it was dark. We're probably 3 miles from their house. And here's what I remember. I were in the car, I had my seat reclined back a little bit. So I was leaning back and I could see, and of course there were no cell phones, so I wasn't, you know, buried in my phone. I was looking out the window, we're driving, and there was this fog, or yeah, it was like fog or smoke. And it came from the left side and passed across the window. And when it did that, I had this feeling of like falling, like I was falling backwards. It was so weird. It reminded me of, you ever get like nitrous at the dentist? And if they creep it up a little too much and you start spinning and your head goes back, that's what it felt like. I felt like I was falling backwards. And I remember saying to Matthew, "What is happening?" And he didn't say anything. He just kept driving. And in a couple seconds, it was over. And I remember again, I'm like, "Matthew, what was that? What happened?" And he said the weirdest thing. He said, "I think it was a cow." I'm like, "What? What?" And he goes, "I think it was a cow. I think a cow walked to the side of the road and blew out like air. And that's what that big cloud was." I'm like, "Matthew, that's insane. That was not a cow." Because there was light. And he's like, "Oh, well, the light was our headlights shining on the cow breath." And I'm like, "No, it wasn't." There was light coming from behind it on the other side. And he's just like, no, it's a cow." So fine. We get to his parents' house. All right. And we pull up and like, it's completely dark. Their house is dark. There's no lights on. I'm like, "What, did they leave? Why are they not here?" So we get out, we go to the door, we know where the key is, we went inside, and everything's dark inside. And I hear Matthew's mother upstairs. She calls out for him. And she's like, "Matthew." And he's like, "Yeah, what are you guys doing?" She's like, "Oh, we thought you weren't coming tonight, so we just went to bed." He's like, What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Well, you know, it's after 10. So we thought maybe you stopped and you weren't coming tonight." Because they're, you know, like I said, there are no cell phones, so they couldn't call us, so they didn't know. And I'm like, "What do you mean it's after? What do you mean? We just left the gas station 15 minutes ago, and it was 7:30 something, and they're up in bed, and it's after 10. I looked, they had a clock on the above the fireplace, and I glanced over, and it was like quarter after 10.
Oh my God, y'all got abducted by aliens.
Hey, I don't know if I was probed. I don't know.
I love it.
That is the craziest thing. I've never told anybody because it sounds ridiculous and I sound stupid. I feel stupid saying it.
No.
At this point, Matthew doesn't remember it like at all. And
really?
Yeah. Because so I asked
he has no recollection of anything you're telling us right now. Like, at all. Like,
"Do you remember when you said a cow blew on the car?" He's like, "No, I don't remember that."
He's not like, "That's ridiculous. I would never say that."
No, actually, that does sound like something he would say.
Because, you know, he's trying to rationalize everything. Yeah. So yeah, it was a cow that blew on the car. But yeah, he claims he does not remember that at all. And I don't know. It sounds ridiculous, but yeah, that's my new story to tell.
That's so cool. My friend got abducted by an alien.
I don't know what happened.
How else would you, unless you like jumped into an alternate reality for 2.5 hours?
It's like a wormhole. Like we just went
through. Yeah, you totally went through a wormhole.
Came out 2 hours later.
That's so wild. I don't know, because I have a friend who it's kind of around that area. Well, I think it's closer maybe to the airport, kind of like back roads, maybe like around Hebron or something. But she actually saw like this huge light, and she said it like hovered over the hood of her car for a long ways down, but she lost time. She lost, I think, about an hour. So I don't know, maybe there's something in that area.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's a story that you feel is nuts. And then once people hear that you've spoken of it, you're going to start having a bunch of people say, oh my gosh, that happened to me.
And I've always just felt like I've never told anybody because I feel like, I don't know, it's just, I'm not crazy. I don't know what happened. So that I just don't tell anybody because I don't want to come across as some nut job, but I don't know.
Dude, you're a ghost hunter. Everybody thinks we're
nuts. I know, that's what I was going to say. You don't want to bring up that story, but you're like totally cool being like, I hang out with ghosts every day.
I'm not a big UFO person. I've never really been interested in that.
Ben, I don't think she believes in Bigfoot either, so.
I mean, that's a problem.
I know.
I don't know. You know, I watch a lot of, I'm really fascinated by stories of missing people. You know, people, especially that missing 411 people that vanish like in national parks. And I watch all those stories and shows like on YouTube and stuff. And a lot of the people that have been found have had similar stories to where they thought they were only gone for like an hour and they were gone for a whole day, you know?
Well, dude, that little girl who walked into Hoyabachi Forest came out 5 years later. She had no idea.
When there's UFOs over there. Yeah.
So Bobby Mackey's is notorious. It's one of those infamous places. There's a lot of, like with most famous places, there's a lot of speculation about what actually happens and about some of the history of the place itself. Can you go over some of what the actual real history is? Because I know you've done a kind of a deep dive into the real history of the place as well as the property it sits on.
Yeah, I think the problem with Mackey's is that there have been so many stories and legends that have just been passed on and passed on for decades now. And every time one gets told, you know, it's almost like something gets added onto it to make it more sensational, especially with the TV shows and, you know, the YouTubers that come through and, you know, they all rehash the same old stories, the ones that are more gory and scary rather than the actual truth.
Right, which honestly the truth, you know, I think it's even more interesting than what people put out there into social media now. It's got a very long running history.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's history. It's not, you know, just stories about
not folklore.
Characters.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Do you care to tell us a little bit about, you know, before it was actually Mackey's?
So most of the stories that the people tell on, you know, the TV shows and the YouTube videos, they'll always start out by saying that Mackey's was either, it used to be a slaughterhouse or it was built on top of an old slaughterhouse. Neither of those things are true. Back in the 1800s, it was mostly farmland in that area. There was a small town there, but most of it was farmland. And then in 1876, they built a distillery on the property. And the distillery was called the Old 76 Distillery. And they are the ones that actually dug the tunnels or the wells, the portals, whatever you want to call them. We'll just call it the well because that's what everybody knows. But they actually dug three of them. And there's the one that's directly beneath Mackey's. And then there's one on the north end and the south end of the parking lot. So the distillery used those tunnels to go underground and out to the river so they could pull water up from the river to make whiskey. And that's the true origin of the well. It was never used to drain blood or any gross stuff from a slaughterhouse. It was just strictly used to pump water. And then that story kind of, or that history kind of overlaps with the story of Pearl Bryan. Pearl was the young lady that was murdered, and her head was, she was decapitated, and they never found her head. Well, the legend that is always told is that her killers, which were Scott Jackson and Alonzo Walling, cut her head off, brought it to the slaughterhouse, and did some kind of satanic ritual and threw her head down the well, along with all the cow guts and everything. But again, she was murdered in 1896. The distillery was in full operation at that time. So there's no way, even if they could have somehow walked in with a head, there's no way they could have thrown it down a well, because it was pulling in water. It wasn't pumping anything out. So
that was like full of pipes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. There had to be some kind of machinery on it. So there's no way they could have done that. But again, that's probably one of the most popular stories that's associated with Mackey's.
Right.
And that story's been going around for what, probably 30 years by now. And that's the one that people like, and that's the one they want to hear about. But it's one of those ones that just isn't true.
Well, I mean, it's a true story, with the exception of, her having anything to do with Mackey's. I mean, it's actually a very sad, very grim story. And I know, Ed, as well as you know, that people claim to have seen or have heard from, Scott and Alonzo in the building themselves. And I know for me personally, I've never had any experiences like that with, either one of those people.
Well, and that's what I was about to say, is people will come there and they'll want to talk to Pearl or somehow communicate with Pearl or Scott and Alonzo, either one. And they'll always say, oh, I got this EVP and it's Pearl, because it's a female voice. And I said, hey, are you Pearl? And it said, yes. I mean, I think I always tell people, not saying that it's not Pearl. I mean, it could be, who knows? Who knows where these spirits come from and why they choose to stay where they do. But I think a ghost can be whoever it wants to be. If you say, hey, is your name Bob? Sure, my name's Bob. What do they care? I've just always thought that. I guess I don't really trust the spirits any more than I trust the living.
Well, I mean, they can lie just as easily as we can. So, it's like you said, you never really know who you're talking to.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they want to mess with somebody, because who's to say they don't have a sense of humor or, that they want to mess with somebody? Sure, I'm Pearl. Yeah.
Well, some of the ones there definitely have a sense of humor. Some of them are handsy too, little grabbers, perverts.
Have you told that story?
Did I tell that when we were talking to our team, Ben? I did, didn't I?
I think you did, yeah.
My little molestation from a ghost.
Well, still happens. It never happened to me. They don't like me. But there have been women who've had their butt grabbed and they get touched in inappropriate places. It still happens. So they miss you.
Hey, Laura, speaking of Pearl and the misconception of the demonic experiences with that inside Bobby Mackey's, a lot of people have said, say there's a portal to hell in Bobby Mackey's, and there's a lot of demonic presences there. Some disagree. What are the typical spirits that you've witnessed at Bobby Mackey's?
Well, when people ask me about demons, my first instinct is to say, no, there's no demons, because I don't personally believe that there is. And some people are happy to hear that. And some people are upset because they want to battle with demons. But I personally have never encountered anything that I would even say is remotely demonic or even evil. I mean, yeah, there's some jerks and there's some pervs, but I mean, nobody's been seriously hurt. Or even, I want to say, even seriously affected by anything there. So yeah, I don't think there's anything evil or demonic there.
Now, do you tend to run into like repeat spirits, or do you think they're more passerbys, or both?
I've always thought they were just passing through. I've always thought that. I've always thought that Mackey's was kind of like a way station for spirits, and they just pass through, on their way somewhere else. But there has been lately, so I'll tell you a little more history, and then I'll tell you about this repeat guest that we've had. So after the distillery shut down, once Prohibition was enacted, it sat, it was empty for a few years, and then eventually it became a mob operated nightclub and casino. And the first one was called the Primrose, and that opened in 1943. And when the Primrose opened, it had only been open for a couple of months. And two guys were in the bathroom in the Primrose. They got in an argument. From what I read in the newspaper, one guy made fun of the other guy's hair. It's really stupid, but he didn't like it, so he punched him. The guy fell down, hit his head, and he died on the floor of the bathroom. And that guy, for the last maybe 2 years, he's been coming through saying his name on spirit boxes and people's recordings. His name is Paul. I don't usually tell people that because I don't want to put it in their head, but his name is Paul. And his name has come through many times, just in the last couple of years. So
now with Paul, because that's a new one. That's something that wasn't there when I was doing tours. Were you able to substantiate that fight that actually happened at the Primrose through newspaper clippings and things like that?
Yeah, I can send you a copy of that newspaper article.
Oh, that'd be awesome, yeah.
So, and the interesting thing is, yeah, I think I found that after you left, when we did a library presentation, I was trying to dig up, I got a newspapers.com subscription, and I just typed in the address. I typed in the Primrose, the Latin Quarter, and any newspaper articles I could find so that I could, you know, present that. And that's where I found that one. Because, yeah, that's one of the things that nobody ever talks about because everybody's too busy talking about Pearl and Johanna. That was a true, you know, murder, basically, that happened inside the club. Wow. That was the first one that we know of that actually happened.
Well, that was reported anyway.
Well, yeah, that was where I was going to go from there, was that after that, you know, it was a mob-owned club. It was Primrose and then later changed to the Latin Quarter. Who knows what they did, you know? I mean, there's bullet holes in the doors and the walls in the basement. And, I mean, they didn't keep records of who they whacked, you know? They just did it. So who knows what went on in that basement.
Or at least that we found anyway.
Well, yeah.
There's still a lot of boxes I don't think any of us have gone through down that.
Yeah, people dig it out every once in a while. What amazes me is how good of condition those papers are in for having sat down there for 50 years now. They've been sitting in that basement and they're in like almost perfect condition.
Yeah, it's...
I'd love to find a book, like a hit book. That could be down there.
Do you know how awesome that would be?
That would be amazing.
And you better like be sure you have security because, you know, the mob's still in the area. So
they
may not like you finding that.
Yep.
It may be kind of an issue. How long has Gatekeeper been doing Mackey's now?
8 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
How'd you guys get started with it?
The lady that used to do tours suddenly quit. Which the more I think about it now is a little concerning in a way, but she quit and we just saw the opportunity and took it, so.
And Ben and I actually used to be on Gatekeeper Paranormal, so we've had our—
I was wondering if you're even gonna say that.
Well, you know, I have to, because I did tours of that, so, you know, we've had so many experiences there. It's, you know, it's a cool place.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Laura, what are the most interesting tours you've done, experiences you've had with people there?
Well, this is a pretty new one that you guys might not know about. This happened, I guess it's, gosh, with COVID, everything's a blur. I guess it's been about 2 years ago now. I had a two-hour tour. I had about six people on it, and we had finished the tour part and we were just sitting in the bull room, just, you know, investigating, asking questions. And one of the girls thought she saw a shadow back in the right-hand corner in the back of the bull room. So I said, let's just, you and I get up and we'll walk over to the creepy corner, the other side, the left side of the bull room. And we'll just stand there and try to communicate, try to get some responses without, you know, rushing up on him and scaring him away. So that's what we did. And for like last 4 or 5 years, every time I go in there, if there's a pool ball sitting out somewhere, I will take it and set it on the edge of one of the pockets. I've been doing that for years now. And every time I'm investigating, I'll say, can you please knock a pool ball in? And they never do. So anyway, I had done that during that tour. So we're standing there. She's asking questions. Nothing was happening. And finally, she says, well, could you knock that pool ball in for me? And I swear to God, the pool ball fell in.
Wow.
And it was loud, because that track in there is plastic, so it's bang, yeah. And then it rolls all the way down. I lost my mind. I was totally freaking out. I'm like, that is the coolest thing I think that has ever happened to me there.
Did anybody get that on film?
Well, not film, but audio. But get this. No, it's bad. It's bad.
Oh.
The girl had her recorder in her hand. And after I calmed down from everything, I'm like, please, please. It was a, old school recorder that she has to hook up to the computer and everything. I said, please, when you get home, please copy that and please send it to me, because that was amazing. So about a week goes by, I don't hear from her. And I sent her an email and I'm like, do you have that audio clip? And she's like, oh, I borrowed that recorder from the library and I couldn't figure out how to get it off of there. So I just turned it back in.
No.
My heart just pounded. If I were smart, I would have just had her play it right then and there and record it. But I trusted instead of recording it like with my phone or just anything. I don't have any proof of that one, but it happened.
What are some other good EVPs that you've got down there?
Well, there's the one that we got years and years ago with the Ouija board.
Awesome. Do tell that story.
I can send that one to you so you can, if you don't have it anymore, I can send it to you. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
Well, if I tell the story, then I have to tell what it says.
That's all right.
Okay. Because I usually play it for people and try to have them decide, figure out what it says for themselves. But so Mandy and Angie and I were in the basement in the well room with the Ouija board, which, by the way, terrifies people because I still have the Ouija board in the cabinets. And every time I have a tour, I'm like, I have a Ouija board. Do you want to use it? And everybody's like, no, no, no. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with it. But we did. So we were in the basement with the Ouija board. And I don't know why you said this. Everybody asked, why did she say that? I'm like, I don't know. You said, our fingers and our bodies make a triangle. What does that mean? Why did you say that? But anyway.
It's kind of a sacred shape.
Yeah, but it was just so random. But anyway, you said our fingers and our bodies make a triangle. And then Angie says, yep. And then there's another voice and it's not me. And it's not either of you guys. And at first I thought it said, what did I thought it said? I'm here. I forget what I thought it said, but as time went on, I figured out that what it actually said is I'm listening.
Yeah. Because I was hearing what you were first hearing too. And then I did a presentation on Mackie's some event, and everybody's like, no, it's saying I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Which when you go back and hear it, or listen to it, you can hear it.
Oh yeah.
It's the creepiest voice.
That is amazing. And every time I play that, because I'm a little bit skeptical of things. I don't know. That is amazing because there's no explanation for that one.
No, because it was it was right on cue for with me and Angie talking. It was really
But what's funny is I'll play that for people that are like not into the paranormal, because I have a couple friends who are very, very skeptical of anything paranormal. I'll say, okay, so listen to this and tell me what you think. What do you think it is? What is your explanation for that? And they'll say something like, oh, somebody's chair moved across the ground.
What?
I mean, it's nothing like that. It's a voice. You can hear it. But whatever, that's a cool one though. That's a really cool one.
And for our listeners, I will include it on this podcast so you can hear it, because it's definitely a Class A EVP.
You know, our fingers and our bodies make a triangle.
Yeah.
Understand.
That other one we got is not really Class A, the one where it's a long sentence where she's,
oh, yeah,
she does not like all these people in here, something like that. But it's so faint, like it's so hard to hear. But that's
but it's so fitting because like the women did not like us, like in the basement, like they did not like us.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But that was a really, I mean, it was faint, but I think that's probably the longest running sentence, like EVP wise, I think I've ever had.
Yeah. I wish I was more tech savvy to boost that up and be able to hear it clearly. Although yeah. I might know somebody that can do it though, now that Parker is doing the movies.
Yeah. The editors on that.
Yeah, I might look into that because I would love to be able to hear that more clearly. So.
Oh yeah. That was a really good one too.
But we've had also lately a lot of audible voices that unfortunately weren't captured, but that we've just heard. Mm-hmm. I had one a few months ago, and I actually put this on our Facebook page because I felt bad. You know how there were all the toys in the Room of Faces, all the stuffed animals and toys and stuff. And over the years, some of them have vanished and people don't bring them anymore. Because I guess, especially when Wanda was there, she really played up the angle of there being kids there. Mm-hmm. And people would bring toys, but they don't do that anymore. So anyway, I had a tour. We were walking from the well room into the Room of Faces. And I was telling them about the room. And I'm like, yeah, there's some toys scattered around the room. I said, the reason the toys are there is because people believe that there are children's spirits here. And they would bring them toys. But nobody's brought any toys in several years. And as soon as I said that, there was me and two people behind me that heard this because we had just walked into the room and we all heard, it sounded like a child or a woman, it's hard to tell, but we heard a kind of high-pitched voice go, "Aw," like they were sad. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
And I turned around to the guy behind me. I'm like, "Did you hear that?" He's like, "Yeah, that was really sad." So I actually put it on our Facebook page and now a couple people have brought in little stuffed animals. Nice. And stuff for the kids. So hopefully they're happy now. But yeah, that's another one that's happened recently that, you know, unfortunately I don't have a recording of it, but that was pretty cool.
Now, besides the spirits, you never know who you're going to get in the tours as well. Like, have you had any interesting characters that you've had to take around?
Yeah, I have a new friend. His name is Steven. He likes to think of himself as an extreme investigator. And the last time he was there, which was a few months ago, he actually got into the well and like curled up in a fetal position and had his buddy shovel dirt from the well on top of him to kind of bury him there. And then another time he brought a Ouija board because he loves Ouija boards. And he actually has a big Ouija board tattoo on his chest. That should be your next thing, Mandy. Get a Ouija board.
A Ouija board tattoo?
On your chest.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
But anyway, he brought a Ouija board and he always bleeds on his Ouija board. And so he cuts his fingers with a razor blade and smears the blood around the Ouija board. And sometimes he's got a little vial of human ashes and he mixes that in with the, it's crazy, but the thing is, he's gotten reactions from it. He's gotten activity from it. They either think he's crazy and they hate him, or it gets him, you know.
Like, you've witnessed activity he's gotten from it?
Yeah. The first time with the, I wasn't there when he buried himself. I just saw the video. But the first time he was there with the Ouija board and the blood, I was actually down there with him. And there was a lady, because he had a bunch of people with him that time. And there was a lady who was getting really nervous and she started praying and she was saying these Bible verses out loud while he was down there doing this. And there was a spirit box going at the same time. And this is actually, he recorded this and it's on YouTube. So you could find it if you wanted to watch it, but he was, the spirit box was on while she was praying and it sounded like it got stuck because all you could hear coming out of it was ha ha, ha ha. Ha ha, ha ha, wild. It was wild.
Well, that's not surprising given the fact that it, like, I think what people have claimed, like, if they brought Bibles down, that they've been pushed or shoved up against a wall or something along those lines.
There were some people that brought a Bible. People brought a Bible a few nights ago. And they said while they were actually reading aloud from it, they were hearing stomping upstairs, like somebody was stomping around upstairs. But the other crazy thing, Ben, that this guy Stephen did, and this is also on his video, he got one of the girls in the group to, so she was laying on her back with her head kind of hanging over the well, and he was in the well, and he had the razor blade. And he put it like right here on the girl. And he was like trying to get spirits to either stop him from doing it or, you know, make him do it. I don't know. But he had a razor blade here. And while he's doing that, you know, there's those metal folding chairs. There's a couple metal folding chairs in the well room. Mm-hmm. There was one in the back by the jail cell. And as he's standing there with that razor blade on this girl's neck, the chair fell over and it was loud. And I'm like, oh my God, if he jerked and, but he didn't, fortunately. But yeah, the chair, there was nobody back in that corner because everybody's watching the you know, throat slitting. There was absolutely nobody back there in that corner and that chair just went bang on the floor. So.
Now, were all the people in that tour, did they all know each other previously to that tour?
Some of them did.
Were the ones that didn't know him encouraging him not to put a razor blade to her throat?
Yeah, the lady with the Bible verses, she was kind of a stranger to them. I don't know how she got involved in coming to that, but she didn't know any of those people. And that's why she was kind of freaking out with what he was doing. And that's why she was praying.
Can't say I blame her.
No, I would be very unnerved, I think.
Wow. But
yeah, he's a character.
No way in hell I would let somebody put a razor blade to my throat hanging over that damn well in that basement.
No.
I don't even like walking down there by myself. So, no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That's insane.
He's done some other things. Like he went in the dressing room. I'm not sure. I've never heard this story. Have you ever heard a story about someone being either, I guess, being hanged in the dressing room or something? I've never heard that. Well,
no, because that was one of the things, one of those superstitions with Johanna, that she either hung herself in one of the dressing rooms or up like somewhere by the dance floor. But
okay,
again, you know,
well, he had a rope with a noose and he went in the dressing room and he threw it up over the supports. He didn't hang himself, but he was just standing there holding it like that. He laid on the train tracks, tied himself to the train tracks.
What is wrong with this guy?
Whatever it takes to get a rise out of the spirits, he's going to do it. You should interview him.
I'm afraid of what he might bring into my house through my computer. My God. Speaking of which, have you ever had anything come home with you?
No, I haven't.
You are such a liar. I know better than that.
One time that I can remember specifically, it was in my old house, and it wasn't an old house, it was a new house, but I was upstairs, and I heard, it sounded like somebody took a Coke can and threw it in the sink, because my sink was like aluminum, so it sounded like a can being thrown into it. That's what the sound was, and there was nobody home but me. So I went downstairs, there was nothing in the sink, there was nobody there. And a few days after that, it was Christmas time and our Christmas tree was up and an ornament on the tree fell off, but it didn't fall straight down the way an ornament, it went that way and it flew off and landed on the floor about 4 or 5 feet away from the tree. So that wasn't just an ornament falling, somebody threw it. So it's little things like that. And there were probably, I used to hear, it sounded like somebody saying my name. So it was little things like that. Nothing bad, nothing that I was afraid of or that I felt like it was going to hurt me. Do you want me to tell what I did with the spirit?
Yeah, that's the best part.
Because usually I don't do it all the time, but I probably should. Sometimes when I leave Mackey's, I will say, you know, any spirits that are here, you have to stay here. You can't come home with me. But apparently they do it anyway sometimes. So So I decided, if they're going to do that, I'm going to take them somewhere. So I said, all right, if there's anybody here, you have to come with me now. So I got in my car and I drove to Kroger. And I took my little ghost into Kroger and I left him there. And nothing happened after that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You need your house cleaned, just call Laura. She'll take him to Kroger for you.
It worked. I don't know.
It's so funny, though, because you're so skeptical about everything. Just hearing you say you took a ghost to Kroger, it just...
What was I supposed to do? I don't want him throwing stuff around my house. I want him out. So I thought I'd try it.
I think it's hilarious.
But, you know, it's funny. In all the years that we've been there, I can only think of two people that have said they've actually had something follow them home that was negative or bad. The one guy I think Kim talked to, remember, that was like the first year we were there. The guy that was putting the Mountain Dew in his refrigerator and the
camera. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy. And they actually had an interesting tour because that's where the piece of glass was thrown.
Yeah.
And he was recording that. Mm-hmm. So that was that guy. And he never, you know, we never heard from him again. So I don't know what happened to him.
I had an interesting one. I think it was actually may have been one of my last ones that I did, but she, I want to say it was like right before Christmas or something, because she was flying out somewhere the next day. But, you know, I do the same thing you do, you know, tell them they got to stay there. They can't come with me. And I always tell my people to do that as well. Just, you know, even if it's just to humor me. Well, she apparently took something with her or got some kind of an attachment. I mean, she got so freaked out to the point where she actually had to go see a priest because she thought she was on the verge of being possessed.
Oh.
But, you know, I mean, you take it for what it is, but it's, you know, she was sending me some pretty freaked out text messages. So,
well, I had a guy a few months ago on a tour. We were in the well room and I always stand, you know, the door where you walk into the well room. Mm-hmm. I always stand facing that because I don't want my back to any of those openings. So my back is to the wall and I'm facing that door. Well, we had turned everything off and we were investigating, and a rock was thrown through that door and it hit my foot, which was pretty cool. I like when that happens. But the rock hit my foot. So I shine my flashlight down to see what it was. The guy next to me bends over, picks up the rock and puts it in his pocket and took it home. I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? Because I don't know. But I never heard from him again. So I guess he's okay. Or he's dead. I don't know.
I have one of those 1800s nails that I took from Mackey's in a little container in my room, in a little glass vial that's got like a square head to it. Nothing bad's happened to me.
There have been people, and including the Stephen guy, who have taken like water bottles or something and taken some dirt out of the well and put it in the bottle and take it home.
Possessed. I did that in Romania.
Well, yeah, I've got Romania rocks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's your scariest moment there? Or are you more desensitized where it does nothing really phases you anymore when you're there?
Nothing. I don't know. I guess I don't know what you mean by scary. I mean, things have startled me, but I've never felt like I have to run out and never come back again. Like I've never been scared. The only thing. Yeah. Have you?
Well, I mean, there've been times when, you know, I've gone in and was just waiting for one of my chores and just the energy was so negative that I'll go wait outside.
Yeah.
And I mean, there has been one time where I ran out with one creepy thing.
So if that's what you mean by scared, yeah, I've had that where I've walked in and it's almost like you hit a wall of just negative energy. And, you know, I've had that and I'll turn around and walk out and wait outside. But yeah, I've had things that have startled me, but I've never run out. I really haven't. But I've had things like I've had voices whisper in my ear or yell in my ear. And, you know, it startles you, but I've never. Mm-hmm. I'm tough, Manny. Come on. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Don't make me tell stories on you.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. No way.
Yeah, I've got stories, Laura. Remember, we've known each other for a while now.
Laura, besides Mackey's, you've had a lot of other places that you've gone to look for spirits. What were some of your favorites?
We've had good stuff happen at Waverly. But, you know, I always tell people I've been there probably 11 or 12 times. I could tell you 3 times that I've had something really good happen because, you know, it's not every time. So I like Waverly. I like Trans-Allegheny. I've only been there once, but I just think that building is so cool. And I would love to go back there.
Yeah, definitely.
But
it was active.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a couple EVPs from there that were pretty good. But one of my favorite places was the Jerome Grand Hotel in Jerome, Arizona. I had an amazing experience there. So yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
Well, what was your experience at the Jerome?
I don't like to talk about it publicly. well, okay, I'll tell you. So I'd always heard Jerome was haunted. I think I saw it on Ghost Adventures because that's why I watch Ghost Adventures, is to find out where to go. So we actually went to Arizona for my nephew's graduation, and because he was going to Embry-Riddle out there in Prescott. So Matthew and I took one night and we drove up to Jerome, and I booked a room at the Jerome Grand Hotel. And when we checked in, I asked the guy about, you know, where were the haunted rooms? And he's like, oh, you know, we're really full. So I don't have any of the haunted rooms to give you. And I should have asked when I booked but I don't like doing that because I feel stupid. But on the second floor, he said, and sometimes, you know, people hear stuff above them in the second floor. But I'm like, well, if there's people up there, you're going to hear something anyway. So I just thought, well, it's okay. You know, we're just going to stay here. It's still a cool experience. It's an old hotel. And around like 11 or 12, I decided to go walk around the hotel and just explore it and, you know, see what was going on. But all the lights were on. You could hear people's TVs. You could hear people talking because every room, I'm not sure, I don't think there was air conditioning in there. And every room above the door had one of those transom windows, and everybody had them open because it was middle of summer and it was hot. So it just wasn't any kind of investigation. So I'm like, ah, forget it. I go back to my room. We go to bed, we go to sleep. And Parker was, my son, was with his grandparents back down in, actually they went back down to Sedona that night. So he was with them down in Sedona. So he wasn't with me, and he was only like 2 years old at the time. And so anyway, so we went to sleep, and I am not a person who has nightmares or night terrors. I have nightmares, like stupid nightmares. But I'm not the type that has like really frightening, horrific nightmares. So all of a sudden I woke up and I shot up out of the bed. I just jerked up. I was drenched. I was sweating. I was hot. My heart was pounding. I felt like I had just run 5 miles. I mean, my heart was pounding so bad. I was sweaty and I was terrified, and I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was so scared. I don't remember dreaming about anything. I just sat up, and I've never in my life done that before, and I haven't done it since. So I thought, oh, that's weird. So go back to sleep. So the next day when I went to check out, there was a different guy at the desk, and you know, he asked how everything was, and I'm like, well, you know, I was hoping for, you know, a ghost experience, but I didn't have one. And Matthew's like, well, tell him what happened. So I told him the story, and he goes, oh, well, when you checked in, did the guy tell you about the second floor? And I'm like, no, he just said it wasn't very haunted. He said, well, usually it's not. He said, but there is one story associated with the second floor. He said, it used to be the maternity floor.
Oh.
And there is a story of a lady whose baby died in childbirth. And I kind of left this out of my original story. When I woke up and I was sweaty and I was scared and my heart was pounding, all I could think about was Parker. I felt like something was wrong with him. Shoot, I wish I wouldn't have forgotten that, because that's pivotal to the story. But I was telling Matthew, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, please call your mom and dad. Please make sure he's okay. Please make sure. That's what happened. I can't believe I left that out. But anyway, so the guy says, yeah, it was the maternity ward. This lady had a baby, died during childbirth, and then she had complications and hemorrhaging, and then she passed away about an hour after the baby was born, but she was awake. I mean, she knew what was happening. She was just bleeding, and they couldn't stop it because it was back like 1800s. I guess they didn't know what, I don't know. But anyway, so the story is that this lady roams around that hall looking for her baby. And so that kind of tied into my dream or my nightmare that something had happened to Parker. And I'm not kidding. That was probably, I've never felt that scared in my life before. I mean, my heart, my whole body was stiff. I couldn't move. It was bizarre. I've never had anything like that happen before.
It's kind of interesting too, that you were wandering the halls prior to that, kind of the way she did, right?
Yeah.
I think you were picking up on her energy.
I must have. I don't know. But
well, when you were checking out, did the, after you told the guy that story, did he ask you if, you know, or confirm that other people have had similar experiences like that?
Nobody's had an experience like that. He just said people have reported seeing the lady walking up and down the halls crying.
Aww.
So, but he kind of, you know, after we talked about it, and we kind of put that together with my dream and how I was so afraid that I had lost my baby, you know, so.
Wow, that's really cool though.
Yeah.
Creepy, but, you know, cool at the same time.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So what are your bucket list places?
I don't know. I would like to go. I went to the Ancient Ram Inn in England, but I was communicating with the lady who is the niece of, you know, the old guy that owned it. Yeah. And I think they had put him in a care home. And so she was kind of taking over. And I had actually been talking to her, but we were running late. And by the time we got there, it just didn't work out. So I couldn't go in. So I would like to go there and just go inside and check that out. So that's probably my biggest bucket list place.
You've been to a lot of really cool, you know, supposedly haunted places overseas. I mean, you've been to Leb Castle and Hellfire Caves and
I didn't go to
in Romania.
Hellfire Caves, that was cool. My other bucket list is in the catacombs in Paris.
Oh yeah, well, the restricted catacombs, not the catacombs. Touristy one.
Yep. Oh, and Penhurst. That's weird, but I've always wanted to go to Penhurst.
Yeah, me too, actually. It's supposed to be like crazy haunted. Like,
and Villisca.
Scary haunted.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But Villisca, I'd like to go there, but it's so far away, you know?
Ben and I were talking about that, wanting to go there as well.
So far away.
Yeah, but I mean.
But that would creep me out. I don't like being in places where people have been brutally murdered. That's just gross. That would creep me out.
That's mine and Ben's kind of place.
Yeah, but
That's all right. Back to Mackey's. We, as far as history goes, we've gotten up to like the Cleveland Syndicate owning the Latin Quarter. What's the rest of the history up into Mackey's? There's a little bit more in there.
Yeah, there's a little bit. So once Las Vegas took off, you know, everything in Newport in that area just kind of started going downhill because all of the gambling and entertainment went out to Vegas. So that building, the Latin Quarter tried to have bingo games for a while, but that really wasn't working out because they were ordering their bingo cards from out of state, which is against some regulation. So that eventually got shut down. And then the building sat empty for a few years, like in the late 60s, early 70s. And then it opened for a couple years as a biker bar. It was called the Hard Rock, but it was nicknamed the Bloody Bucket because there was always, I mean, it was just so violent there. There were always people fighting. So, you know, they'd mop up the blood and then throw the bloody water outside in a bucket. That's where they got the nickname from. But there were a couple people shot in the parking lot that died from their gunshot wounds. That's another thing I found out when I was researching a few years ago. that a couple people were shot in the parking lot and died. So the Bloody Bucket was only there for a couple of years before the city finally got so many complaints about it that they shut it down. And then it sat empty for a couple more years. And then Bobby bought it in 1978.
Let me ask you this. The area, not just Mackey's property, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, tragedies happen on the property itself. Like some of the buildings that were there have either partially blown up or been caught on fire. I think Mackey's caught on fire at one point or another. Like within a half mile radius, you've had the, what was it, the First Street Bridge? Is that the one that collapsed while they were 11th, building it?
11th Street Bridge, yeah.
11th Street Bridge, yeah. That collapsed and killed, I don't know, like what, 40 people or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then not too far down the road, you've also got the Beverly Hills Supper Club, which was like, I think the third largest or worst tragedy by fire in American history, something along those lines. What, and also even like before anything was built on the Mackey's property, it used to be called, what was it, Gallows Gap, right? Because they had lynchings and unlawful hangings on the property.
Yeah, that little stretch between the river and Newport, there used to be a lot of hangings there. And apparently people, even back then, like early to mid 1800s, used to talk about, you know, it being haunted just because of all the hangings, I guess. So there were like little stories going around back then that it was haunted from that.
What do you think of the area just, you know, in and around that property as potentially having a curse on it, being bad land?
I don't know if I believe that, but it makes sense in a way, just because of all the tragedy that has happened there. So yeah, I mean, it could be, but I don't know why, other than maybe if it started with the lynchings and the hangings, just because of the negativity associated with that, maybe. I don't know.
Or, I mean, even going back to like before it was Finchtown, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's what the distillery was there, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of Native American, you know, this whole area has a lot of Native American history. So, I mean, you know, possibility of the Indians and everything possibly being massacred or driven out, or, you know, because I've dealt with some of the properties that we've investigated for private clients have had Native American curses attached to the land, and a lot of crazy stuff has happened. That's kind of where my mind goes when I think of just, you know, the ground possibly being tainted, if you will.
It could be, because, and especially you mentioned fires, because I think every business that has been on that property since then has suffered a fire at least once.
Yeah.
Pop, the Bluegrass Inn had a fire. Mm-hmm. The Latin Quarter had a fire. Mackey's had a fire. The distillery caught fire a couple times. So yeah, that, it could be.
I think the Bluegrass Inn caught on fire twice, didn't it? The second time they couldn't recoup anything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then it turned, I guess. Well, you know, the Primrose, nothing happened when it was the Primrose, did it? I think that was maybe the only
fire
business that like made it out and escaped. Well, their owner got killed. Their owner killed himself. Oh, yeah. So there you go. And the son contracted some mysterious disease and died. All the times that I've been there, and I know, I don't know how many people have said this to me, and I felt it's like that building kind of draws you to it. Like you're kind of, I don't want to say addicted to it, but you kind of just feel a pull to go there on, you know, as often as possible. Do you think it's ever had kind of any negative effect on you or any personal relationships or just anything that's happened in your life since you've been doing these tours there for so long?
Yeah. I think what happened to us had everything to do with the negative energy at Mackey's. I've always thought that.
Bobby Mackey's broke us up.
Yep.
Not me and Laura. We never knew.
But no, I thought about that, and because there was no reason for any of that. I mean, without something external, I don't know. I've just always thought that Mackey's was responsible for that.
You heard it here. Beware. You go to Mackey's, you never know what might happen. I'm just kidding. Go there because it's a cool place.
It is cool.
It is. Even and the music. Well,
we spent a lot more time there than just someone going on a tour for a couple hours. You know, we're there several times a week and collect that negative energy. I say that there's nothing bad there. But anyway.
No. You said there's nothing demonic or evil there. That doesn't mean there's not bad stuff there.
Yeah.
Because there is that one jerk down in the basement that's, I don't like him at all. I still don't like him at all.
I do have one that didn't like Carl's workshop in the basement, because I still tell people that that you hated that room.
I won't go in that room. Even to this day, I will not go in that room.
That's the really little room right inside the large barn doors, right?
Yeah, like to the left.
Into the left,
I don't like it.
What was in there?
I don't like the basement.
What was in that room?
Well, it's got like two chairs, like, or well, it did have like.
What was there that you don't like?
That dude, he likes to hang out in there.
Oh, okay.
And the first time I went in there, he rushed me. Like, I mean, he.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't like him at all because he did that on a couple occasions and it was not pleasant, especially when you're in the dark or trying to find a light when your fellow paranormal investigators make you go down there to hook stuff up by yourself for an investigation. But that's okay.
I always thought that the dressing rooms were the creepiest just because of, for some reason, mirrors when it comes to haunted location are kind of terrifying to me. Obviously, people have written a lot on the dust and the mirrors in those rooms. Laura, you've spent the most time there. What room do you think is the most haunted as far as the most activity you've seen?
I like the well room. The well room is the most active because you've got, I mean, on every side of you, you know, you've got the window that looks out to the main part of the basement. You've got the doorway where someone threw a rock at me. You've got the jail cell. You've got the stairs behind you. You're just surrounded when you're in that room. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my favorite for activity.
Now, a lot of people have said that they've gotten ill from the Room of Faces. Have you had experiences with people in your tours getting sick in that room?
Not lately, not that I can remember. I've had people get sick upstairs, usually in the back in the creepy corner. I've had people get scratched, but the scratching is usually in the well room. In my experience, the people that have been scratched, it's happened in there, in the well room.
Are these like generally superficial scratches, or have you seen anything major?
Nothing where it was like, you know, dripping blood, but they're deep enough to where, I mean, because if you scratch yourself, I mean, because, you know, I have hives and I know about scratching. And I've had where I do it in my sleep and I just like kind of maul myself and it bleeds. But that's some serious scratching. So to be able to do that to yourself on your back, you know, kind of reaching around all awkward, trying to scratch your own back, that would be hard to do. To make it that deep to where it's actually red, you know, and like there's little bits of skin peeled up. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think people do that to themselves. And if they do, then they're psychotic, because that's a lot of self-inflicted pain just for attention. You know, make someone think you've been scratched by a ghost. So
I have a picture. I think it was when Angie was doing the drunk tours one night, and that guy, I mean, there's claw marks from like his shoulder blade all the way across, like diagonal across his back. There's no way he could have done that himself, and he didn't have fingernails. Which I'll put some of those pictures up on our probably Facebook page about the same time that this will air, just so people can see some of the weird things. Oh, you didn't mention Shadow the cat, my favorite ghost at Mackie's.
Yeah, I haven't seen or heard him in a while.
Aw.
But yeah, it's been years actually since I've heard him. So maybe he's moved on. I don't know. Maybe
he's on camera.
Huh?
We got him on camera.
Yeah.
I actually have a pretty cool picture of him, I think. And we'll stick to that story. It looks like a cat to me. So with that. So how do people get in touch with you or with your team in order to book tours or investigations or something along those lines for Mackie's?
They can go to gatekeeperparanormal.com, which is a long name to remember, or if you just go to Bobby Mackie's webpage, which is bobbymackies.com, he has a link that says paranormal, and if you click on that, it goes to our page. So they can do it either way, whatever's easier to remember.
And you'll get to book with our dear sweet Laura. She's in charge of all of that fun stuff. And be sure to call her on the phone because she loves talking on the phone. I'm kidding. She hates it, but you got to do what you got to do. Well, Laura, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. It's been a great pleasure chatting with you and talking about the real history of Mackie's, because like we said in the beginning, I think the real history far exceeds, you know, the stuff that gets made up and all the folklore that surrounds the building itself.
Well, yeah, because
thank you.
think back then they didn't have, they weren't able to easily find out all this history the way we can now. So, you know, I think that's why maybe sometimes they kind of embellish these stories or just straight up made them up. But now we know the truth and it's easier to find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again. And, you know, you're going to come back on our podcast sometime to talk about, I don't know what, I haven't decided yet, but we'll definitely have to have you back on again.
Do a Romania thing. Romania.
Yeah, actually, that'd be a good idea. Poor little Ben's going to be left out.
What?
Ben will be left out because he wasn't there.
Well, but he can listen and learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the trip that we're going to have to go on, because we have to do a couple podcasts on location series in Romania.
Oh, yeah.
All right, girl. Well, have a wonderful night, and I'll actually see you in a couple weeks for Parker's premiere.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Night.
Bye.
All right. And that was Laura with Bobby Mackey's. And coming up here in just a couple minutes, we're going to have the man himself. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, we're here with Bobby Mackey, owner of the world famous and notoriously haunted Bobby Mackey's Bar in Wilder, Kentucky. It's been 43 years since he opened the doors to the now infamous honky tonk bar, Bobby Mackey's. How are you doing tonight, Bobby?
Well, I'm doing great. It's been a great 43 years, too.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the podcast and congratulations on the 43 years.
You know, happy to be with you tonight. You know, place is still there, we're still kicking, and it's all about the music for me, but all the other stuff, I leave that to other people.
Sounds good. All right, before we jump into the music, can you tell us a little bit about how you acquired the property?
Well, I was trying to decide whether I would get my own place. I worked at other clubs, three other clubs in the Tri-County area. They were like with 10 minutes of each other. Over a period of 8 years, I worked three different nightclubs. And I was either going to get my own place or move to Nashville. And because my career meant the most to me, but I knew I had security. Every time I changed nightclubs, I'd always take the crowd with me, and I always had a crowd. So I felt like I had some security there rather than go to Nashville and be a small fish in the big sea. And, you know, I decided to get my own place, and I'm glad that I did. Some friends of mine told me about the place over in Wilder. It was an old gambling casino, and it'd been closed up. And they kept asking me to come over and look at it. And so I did one day. And when I saw it, I just kind of had to have it. But really, I'm glad it worked that way because it's really been great. And by getting the nightclub of my own, I was able to go to Nashville whenever I wanted to anyway. So
yeah, it's a great idea.
It worked both ways.
Now, did I hear, I can't remember if you told me this one time
or if I heard it through the grapevine, but the railroad tracks that run behind Bobby Mackey's, didn't you used to take a train or something by that place all the time, or did I dream that up somewhere?
Well, you're kind of right. I worked on a railroad when I first came down here, Lewis County, Kentucky. I worked on a railroad, but I didn't work past there.
Oh, okay.
But the same railroad track right there runs right through my hometown. Not directly, but the same track. You can stay on that track. It's a different line that goes through my hometown, but that track would take you right through there, right beside my dad's grocery store where I was raised.
That's what it was. Yeah, I knew it was something to do with those tracks. I love those railroad tracks out there. It just makes it so historic.
Yeah, and plus one other thing, and I might have told you this, or you might have heard this. I lived in Covington, and the crew dispatcher's office was there in Covington. So when I got called to work to go out on a train, it was a 128-mile run.
Oh, wow.
From Silver Grove to Russell, Kentucky, and back. So the CNO bus that would run between the crew dispatcher's office at Covington and the train yards in Silver Grove would go right past the place.
Oh.
So every time I'd be going to work, I'd be on the bus and go right past the place.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty much like you were destined to have that place, I think.
I feel like that. I really do.
It's a really, really cool place.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, there's a long-running history of businesses on this property having a lot of problems in one form or another. Some violence, some mishaps with fires and things of that nature. Have you ever had any kind of issues other than, you know, like normal business mishaps?
No, not personally. And but because I was always driven by the music and never paid any attention to it. But you know, the place had some violence. I don't know if it was very real violence right there, but it was owned by the syndicate.
And, right.
You know, the syndicate would run the place with a strong arm. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not people I would want to tangle with at all.
That's correct.
Now, you know, I have to ask this. Everybody knows you're not, you don't believe in the paranormal or anything like that, but after all of these years, have you still never had a paranormal experience?
No.
Wow.
I don't look for it. But, you know,
Bobby.
When I was growing up at home in Lewis County, there was a little town of Concord.
Uh-huh.
It was a farm community. My dad ran the grocery store and he owns the farms also. But being around the store all the time, farmers would gather in there, and I'd hear them telling stories about a certain house in the area, someplace, so and so's farmhouse,
uh-huh.
this home, and this and that and the other, and I'd hear that, and I certainly wouldn't want to go around there. I wouldn't want to go past the place, you know, like out in the country, dark and everything. I wouldn't want to go close to it. That's what bothered me about rumors about the club being haunted. I thought if people found it out, they wouldn't want to come there.
Right. So, boy, little did you know.
Yeah, it was the opposite. it draws everybody. Everybody's interested in it.
It really, I love your slogan too, come for the ghost, but stay for the music. I love that.
Yeah. Well, that leads back to me only being interested in the music.
Yes, it does. Ben, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask him if he had a lot of customers that have come up to him expressing that they've had incidents occurring throughout the nights.
Off and on through the years, I've had people to bring it up, and of course, I've had people just ask me about it, and they're very disappointed when I don't have any ghost stories to tell them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've always, every interview I think I've ever seen, you're always adamant about, you know, the paranormal just not your thing. And it's just, what is it you say? Some people just are, have that kind of gift and other people's are, you know, yeah, don't.
I believe some people may be gifted enough to connect with the paranormal and others are not.
Right.
And I think that's possible. But, you know, I have softened over the years. I used to be totally... just totally, I don't believe, but, you know, I got to a place where I felt like I was kind of disrespecting people that do believe in it when they approach me with it. If I'm that hard-nosed about it, I don't want to, you know, hurt people's feelings or,
right.
or make them feel like I'm being rude about it. So I've softened a little bit so that, you know, I just say that I believe, I do know, more people believe in it than don't.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, I think, well, Ben and I are both paranormal investigators, as you know, and that's it's pretty much on every paranormal investigator's bucket list to come to Bobby Mackey's to do some kind of an investigation, whether it be a tour or one of the 5-hour overnights. And it's, you know, we both as tour guides had such a blast doing it. I mean, it's, gosh, you never know what you're going to get into. And then, of course, you know, coming out Fridays and Saturday nights to see you guys play live is just kind of the pinnacle of it all too, because you're, I mean, well, I think everybody knows you're an awesome musician and I absolutely love, you know, hearing you play live. It's just a great experience all around.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's been my whole life. And I'm having some records that are doing real well right now. I've got a new record just released.
Oh.
It's about Hank Williams Sr.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Hank Williams Sr. and his wife, Audrey, Hank Williams Jr.'s mother.
Uh-huh.
Audrey, they didn't get along and they broke up. And I've got a song called I'm Looking for Audrey.
Okay.
It's Hank Williams, you know, going to these bars in Nashville looking for Audrey.
Oh, wow.
It was same conversation night after night. He shows me that same old picture in old black and white.
Oh.
That's the love of my life. I'm looking for Audrey.
Where can people hear that?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, cool. So you have a music video with it as well?
No, it's
just a song.
It has a cover. It has a cover on it.
Oh, okay.
Cover art. It's just a song. It's called I'm Looking for Audrey. I've got a lot of music on YouTube.
Yeah, it's
just now started getting going with a lot of independent stations out there that still play country. There are lots of independent radio stations across the country and other places in the world. I get a lot of play in England.
Oh, wow.
A station in England, Sam Harris, we become friends by telephone. He's a DJ in England and he calls me all the time and interviews me on his station and plays all my music. So it's quite a thrill.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow. Your music's global. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you mentioned a while ago, it's always a thrill when people, we hear from people that it's on their bucket list to come there. And that just, that's very exciting for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know whenever I did the tours, I always tried to get people to come back on a Friday or Saturday because you can't have the full experience unless people hear you play too. That's part of the whole big fun of Bobby Mackey's, the ghosts and then the music on top of it.
Yeah, the tours, you know, people come there from all over.
Oh, yeah.
And the people on Friday and Saturday nights, we have the tours in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable the numbers of people that come back and repeat it.
Oh, I know. Multiple repeaters. I mean, it's a completely different atmosphere when you're doing a private tour versus when, you know, the bars open itself. It's just the energy is so much different.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun either way.
Yeah.
Now I wanted to ask you, I can't remember how long ago it was. But we were, when Nick Groff came through and did his tour there, we had this little kid. He was probably not even up to my shoulder yet. Real big Nick Groff fan, big ghost hunting fan, David Barry. That man has really, really become an incredible musician underneath your tutelage. I know he had reached out to you a couple times, and how are things going with him? Oh, yeah.
He's grown up now.
He is.
And, you know, I kind of became his mentor. And,
yeah.
And he's from up in near Mansfield, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, Ohio, same area as Mansfield. But he took to my music when he was there, the time you talked about, when Nick was there.
Uh-huh.
David Barry had his daddy bring him down there. He wasn't in the music. He come down there for the paranormal.
I know. It's crazy.
He saw my CDs and he had his dad buy him. He bought every one of my CDs and his dad said he played them all the way back to Tyson, Ohio, which is a 3-hour drive, played my music. And a neighbor had a guitar, a little cheap guitar of some kind, and that never hardly played it.
Uh-huh.
The neighbor never hardly did. So he borrowed the guitar and learned some chords and started playing guitar.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I've seen and heard him play a few times. And actually my team did an investigation up at Mansfield and he was there. So he was with us the whole night and oh Lord, he loves you to pieces. And It just has to be so cool to inspire somebody with your music so much so that they pick up a guitar and start playing and really go a long way with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he started learning my songs,
mm-hmm.
playing guitar along with the music, learning my songs. And he started taping himself singing my songs and sending them to me on Twitter.
Wow, that's really cool.
Nice.
He was singing my songs just in his guitar. And then one day he says, spring break was coming up. He said, if I could get my dad to bring me down there on Monday, such and such. It was in March when spring break was coming up. On that Monday, it was March something. And he said, if I could get my dad to bring me down there, could I come down and meet you? And I said, well, sure.
Oh.
So dad brought him down, and RJ and I met him at the club, and he had that little guitar, and I got mine, and we played guitars together and sang, had a big time. He just impressed me because he was inspired by me, and he was doing so well with it, and he's doing very well. He comes down as a guest every so often.
And, yeah.
I forget the date he's coming back down, but he told me he was coming back in a few weeks.
Oh, good. I may have to come down. I haven't seen you play up there for a while.
I love to hear him do Johnny Cash.
Yeah, it'll probably be announced on my Facebook when he does.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Hey, Bobby. Sorry, Mandy.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask what you're doing to celebrate the 43rd anniversary.
Well, you know, we've done about everything, and we're just going to play the music and celebrate the fact that we've been there 43 years. That's really about all we can do.
Sounds like a good plan.
It's going to be a heck of a good time, as it always is. You have a rowdy crowd.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when they get rowdy, you know, the band and I work harder.
Oh, yeah, especially I like it when you play Friends in Low Places. That seems to get everybody riled up pretty good.
That's a rowdy song.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out about your music? Do you have a specific YouTube page, Facebook, Twitter?
Well, Facebook is the best way, I guess.
Okay.
Probably Facebook. We're playing the Brown County Fair this year.
Oh, really?
Friday night, October the 1st, Ben and I are playing the Brown County Fair, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's great. Well, definitely hope if people are in the area, hope they come out and check that out. That actually sounds kind of fun.
And there's I just found out there's a Josie Music Award. Josie has a radio station, and her mom, and they sponsor this Josie Music Award.
Uh-huh.
The awards every year. Last year I was down there. It happens at a theater down near Dollywood. I was down there last year at the event, and I was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, wow. That's
amazing.
I was thrilled about that, and I'm going to perform there this year. In fact, I'm going to perform Looking for Audrey.
Awesome. That is so cool. Hey, weren't you inducted into the Kentucky Hall of Music? Name it. What is it?
Hall of Fame?
There you, yeah. I can't talk about it, yeah.
The Northern Kentucky Music Legends Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It started in 2013. I was one of the first inductees, along with Kenny Price, Peter Davis.
Wow.
Bobby Lou, and a bunch of us went in at the same time. And I was thrilled to get to be inducted along with people like that.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Have you had other celebrities, other country music stars come play at your bar or just show up?
Through the years, not so much now,
uh-huh.
but through the years, you know, I've had George Jones there.
Wow.
Back in 1980. Merle Haggard was there in 1982.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Through the years, many, many Nashville stars. But we don't do it so much anymore. They've priced themselves out of the range for a venue that size.
Oh, yeah. Now, we've got all the star we need with you up there every Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's it works. I'm grateful. But the Josie Award thing is coming up here September the 18th. And this year I'm nominated for Artist of the Year.
Oh, cool.
Entertainer of the Year. And also Venue of the Year.
Oh, wow, really?
So that'd be neat to win the venue.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's hope you take all of them home.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I, you know, that Venue of the Year would mean just as much to me, actually.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, that would bring hopefully pack even more people in.
Yeah.
That is very wonderful. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot going on, a lot of good things coming up.
Yeah, we always have things happening. And, of course, RJ is one of the best promotion people in the world.
Yeah, he never stops.
No, he don't. He's on top of it.
Yeah, I emailed him and asked him if we could possibly get an interview, and he's like, yeah, but you know, he didn't like that paranormal stuff. So you just kind of focus on that 43rd anniversary. I'm like, yes, sir, we know.
Well, you know, he might have gone overboard with that a little
bit. I know how RJ is. He's all about that promotion.
Yeah. It might have been him that don't want to focus on them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't mind discussing it and answering the questions. I just, you know, it's there. It's part of it.
Yes, sir.
People come from all over, enthused by it.
Well, we really, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us for very a few much. Minutes thank tonight.
You. Well, I've enjoyed talking with you, and thanks for thanking me for it. And you guys have a great evening.
You too, and congratulations on 43 years, and hope we have another 43 years coming.
Awesome. All right, yeah, very much.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that was awesome talking to Laura and Bobby. Both of them are always a pleasure and have a lot to say.
Oh, yeah. I love learning about the real history of places, you know, because some of these more popular paranormal places, they have a lot of hype and a lot of myths and legends, so it's always really good to talk to somebody who's, you know, really done a deep dive into the actual history of it. And then of course you got Bobby. Sure. I mean, he's a legend in the paranormal sure. world and music world as well, so it was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
All right, Ben, so for Through the Abyss podcast, this is Ben and Mandy. See you on the flip side.
Spookly stuff. He pulled out of the back of a blue Cadillac. Long, tall, and lean, white cowboy hat. Pulled up a stool at the bar, said, I'm looking for Audrey. Took off his coat, lit up a smoke, stared into space, completely heartbroken. I said, why don't you have? He said, I'm looking for Audrey. Same conversation, night after night, shows me that same old picture, an old black and white. That's the love of my life, I'm looking for Audrey. About the miles on the lost highway, how the road and the drinking drove her away.
I shake my head when I hear him say, I'm looking for Audrey. Same conversation, night after night, shows me that same old picture, an old black and white. That's the love of my life, I'm looking for Audrey. She drops by, tell her I'm so lonesome I could cry. She's the love of my life, I'm looking for Audrey. Looking for Audrey.
I called him and I said, hey God, I'll never live with you another day.